lives. I will be reading from three different passages. Firstly, from Luke 6, verses 40. A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Next, I'll be reading from John 13, verses 17. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Lastly, I'll be reading from 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 17. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and my suffering. The things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learnt it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproofing, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Well, let's show all of our graduands our support and congratulations. Now, before the ceremony began, you were a graduate. Now you are a graduand. And there's a little thing that you have to do. You see that tassel on your hat? It should be on the right. So take it off and put it on the right side of your head. I mean, this is so profoundly important. It isn't really, but it is a bit of fun. So it should be hanging off the right. That's what you should have been as you were coming up, like that. Now that you are graduands, you get to move the tassel to the other side. So can you all move your tassel now to the left and we'll all cheer you. Yay! It's a bit weird, isn't it? All this palaver. I don't know about you, but I can't really be bothered with it, particularly on a hot day. But there is something about celebrating what you've achieved. And the original reason for these gowns was because they didn't want people to notice whether you were poor or rich. So everybody wore the same gown. And that hid whether you were wearing scruffy clothes or posh clothes. Now that makes sense, right? But over the years, like many things, it ends up becoming the opposite. So the posher you are, the flouncier your gown is. But nobody can really be bothered with that. And tonight, I just want to celebrate you. I want to celebrate what God has done in you, but I also want to celebrate what God is doing in you, and I want to celebrate what God is going to do through you in the name of Jesus. Whether that be pastoring a church, starting a business, raising a family, caring for people that you love, whether that be becoming a discipler or a missionary or an evangelist, whether that be becoming a teacher or a stay-at-home mum or grandfather or grandmother, whatever God has called you to do, if he's called you to do it, it's a good thing. And I pray that you will be equipped and strengthened and inspired. Some of you called perhaps to go back to Italy and to shine the light of Jesus Christ into that beautiful nation where I was just a few weeks ago visiting one of our mission partners there. Others perhaps called to go to the Middle East or to serve from here, proclaiming the gospel and seeing women and men born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Others called to be worship leaders who lead people into the presence of God and help them to sing and to rejoice. Whoever you are, wherever you are, prayer ministry, intercessor, giver, encourager, preacher, teacher, prophet, evangelist, apostle, I don't care what you do. If you do it for the glory of God and in his name, may he bless you, may he strengthen you, may he encourage you, may he inspire you, may he lead you, and may you blaze his light into the world around us in the name of Jesus. Amen. And that is not only true for you as graduates, it's true for all of us. Wherever you are, whatever you do, whoever you are, if you know and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a purpose and a plan for you. And why would we go to the trouble of having a graduation ceremony on a night like tonight? Why not just give people a bit of paper and send them on their way? Because we do want to celebrate. We want to celebrate the achievement for some of our students. This has been tough work. There have been challenges and difficulties and hardships along the way. Many of them have thought, I think I'll just stop or I'll give up. You're not the only one that thought that. Everybody in their journey of learning has a moment where they say, it's too much and I can't do it. And yet you have stuck with it and God has stuck with you. And I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be blessed and strengthened. But I pray for all of us tonight, just for a few moments, that we would lift our eyes and consider what it is we study and why it is we study. And unequivocally and unapologetically, I suggest to you that there are many of you that God might be calling to study with IBIOL. I'm not trying to pitch it to you, and I'm not trying to sell it to you, but I don't want you to miss what God might be saying. So often, we can end up apologetic about the opportunities that God presents us. And it's my great joy to support Michelle and to oversee the work of this amazing institution. And as I said earlier on, it is absolutely vital that we get this right and that we raise up and release women and men to lead. This nation, the nations of the world, this city needs women and men who know how to handle the Word of God, who know how to share it, who know how to live it, who know how to believe it. It also needs women and men who know how to pray it, how to take hold of it and allow it to shape their intercession and to shape their decisions. You see, whilst we celebrate academic achievement, one of the distinct things about the International Bible Institute of London is that we are specifically and very clearly aimed at equipping and enabling people for practical leadership in the kingdom of God. We don't want you to end up just with a title, so that you get to choose a posh gown or wear a nice hood at the back when you are graduating. We want you to experience something of the power of God. So that's why we want to bring the best learning. And I wonder this evening if there are other people and God is placing things in your heart and you need to know this word better. You need to be able to explain it better. And deep down in your heart, you know it. And you think, I'm not the type of person that something like IBIOL would accept. Yes, you are. I'm not the type of person that could study to show myself approved unto God. Yes, you are. That third reading that you heard from Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17, was written by the Apostle Paul as he came to the end of his life. And he was writing to a young man called Timothy, who was a young pastor who had made many mistakes. But Paul wanted to encourage him and he wanted to say goodbye to him properly and he wanted him to know what it was that young Timothy needed to hold on to. And Paul says, my example is set before you, Timothy, but he doesn't say, hold on to me. He doesn't say to Timothy, hold on to my ministry. He says to Timothy, hold on to the word of God. Right across London tonight, right across the United Kingdom and across Europe, there's lots of talk of God being on the move and men and women being born again and brought into living faith in Jesus Christ. I rejoice in that. But I am deeply troubled that we are raising a generation in the Church of Jesus Christ across the world that is biblically illiterate. They can end up with a degree, a diploma, and a doctorate and not know this word. I tell you, this word is worth all the diplomas and all the doctorates and all the academic accolades that the world could ever afford because this word is the sword of God. It has power to bring life and hope and transformation. When the monarch of the United Kingdom is crowned, when they go through the coronation service, there is a moment at which one of the leaders of the church, normally the leader of the church in Scotland, brings them a Bible. After having given them the most precious jewels that the world has to afford, crowns and scepters and orbs, emeralds and diamonds and rubies and sapphires that would dazzle you, worth tens of millions of pounds, they bring a Bible and they hand it to the monarch. And do you know what they say to the monarch? This is the most precious thing that we have to give to you. And at the center of IBIOL, at the center of Christian mission, is this word. It has power to bring life and freedom and hope to women and men. And I pray that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ tonight, that you will take seriously the call of God to know this word. You might invest in a gym. You might invest in nice equipment at home. You might invest in new phones. Let me ask you a question. Imagine for a moment you went away for a long weekend with your friends. You arrive at a beautifully plush hotel. It's got a spa. It's got a hot tub. It's got breakfast. You always know if breakfast is good, it serves smoked salmon. And you think, oh, I love smoked salmon with a little bit of hollandaise and a nice poached egg. And you're all excited and you go to bed that Friday night and you think, oh no, I've lost my phone. I left my phone at home. You'd panic. If you have somebody at home, you'd ring them and say, is my phone there? Oh, I don't know, I'll check. I've lost my phone. I can't live without my phone. You'd go into blind panic until you found your phone. Would you feel the same way if you left your Bible behind? Or would you not even notice? The Word of God contains truth and hope and life. And across this world tonight, there are women and men who can't even get to one because to own it would be a threat to their lives. Or they've never had it translated. Or they've never had it made available. Or they can't access it. I could send you and take you to places where I have preached and taught around the world where there are people that, 30 and 40 people that gather around one Bible. Men and women who are so desperate for the Word of God, but they can't get to it. Here in the United Kingdom, you can buy dozens of the things. They are available to you left, right, and center. You probably have several at home if you're already a follower of Jesus. But are you reading it? Are you opening it? Are you allowing it to inspire you? Are you allowing it to form you and to shape you? The Apostle Paul says to Timothy that this word is able to rebuke, to challenge, to change, to transform, to renew, and to strengthen. If you need to get studied, stuck into the Word of God, IBIOL is a place for you. But if you can't do that, find a church. Find this church or another church where they take the Word of God seriously. Every Sunday and every Wednesday when we read this book, somebody comes and they read from it. And the last thing they say is, God always blesses the public reading of His inspired and infallible Word. A phrase that I introduced to you a year ago, and it is transforming how people read the Bible in this church. It is creating energy and passion. But will you study it? Will you open it? Will you allow it to consume you? See, I want to ask you three simple questions tonight. Will you be prepared? This word will help you be prepared. The power of the Holy Spirit will help you to be prepared. We can't do anything without His power, and we can't do anything without His word. But His word and His power will never contradict one another. When they both come alive in our hearts, something changes, something is transformed in us. Let me tell you a brief story. You may have heard it before. Over 100 years ago, there was a young actor and a family that went to the north of Scotland for a weekend retreat. And when they were there, there was a very well-known person who was at the retreat. And they said to the young actor, can you recite something for us? And the young actor said, yes, I can. They said, what can you recite? And he said, I can recite the 23rd Psalm. And they said, go ahead and do it. And he said, okay. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, and He restores my soul. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou hast prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the people in the house party went, wow, wow, that's amazing, well done. And an old man who was a pastor in the area and being invited to the party. I'm not going to do a Scottish accent because I'm not very good at them. He came and he said, excuse me, can I recite that? And he said, yes. And he looked at the gathered community and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And he leads me by still waters. And he restores my soul. And he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even when I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. For your rod and your staff comfort me. And thou hast prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the room fell silent. Nobody knew what to say. And then one of the young people attending the retreat said, why is it so different? And the old pastor said, because the actor knows the words, but I know the author. I know the author of this book. I know him by name. He is my friend. And he has walked with me and held me and sustained me and carried me through every kind of darkness you can imagine. So is it not natural that I want everybody else to know the power of this book? To know the life that flows from this book in the name of Jesus Christ? Is it not obvious that to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to believe that in this book is the answer for our society, for our culture, for our politics, for our education, for our racial crises, for our conflicts, for our wars, for our hatred, for our animosity? We need this book, and the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through it brings life to other people. But it doesn't come to you by osmosis. I ask you this evening to take seriously what it means to be a student of the Word of God. I became a Christian in 1986, and I am as consumed with this book as I have ever been. I wish I could explain, and I'm not being falsely humble. I know I love the Bible, and I know I can preach and teach it. Those are gifts from God. But I really wish I could understand it more. I really wish I could express to you how much this captures my imagination. Every time I hear someone preach, there's a line or a verse or a sentence, and I think, I've read this thousands of times, but I've never seen that before. Because the thing about the Bible is, and if you take it seriously, you don't only read it. Every time you open it, it reads you. It looks into your soul and it looks into your heart. And as I speak with the leaders of this nation and other nations of the world, which I often do, I will say to them unapologetically, this book is what you need. The truth of this book is what you need. You want Britain to prosper? It needs this book. You want Europe to prosper? It needs this book. You want America to prosper? It needs this book. You want youth to prosper? They need this book. You want families to prosper? They need this book. You want anybody to prosper? This book has the answer. It is the gateway to life and to hope. Will you take it seriously? Not just attend a graduation service and go away and say, that was lovely. Will you consider how you will study it? How you will investigate it? How you will let it grip your soul? I know that earlier Michelle said, you get discounts. If you can't afford it, we'll work it out. We're not doing this to make money. We are doing this to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And I pray that you will be prepared, that you will take seriously what it means to study this word and to allow it to sink into your hearts, because it changes and transforms cultures. But secondly, you heard another reading, and it was a reading from John chapter 13, verse 17. And in it, Jesus has just washed the feet of his disciples, and he comes to them and he says, "Do you understand what I have done?" And they said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, you are blessed if you will do the same." You see, what we do with our knowledge, what we do with our wisdom, what we do with our education is very, very important. I invite you to have a posture of servant-heartedness. Our culture needs us to serve them with the truth. Our families need us to serve them, not to lord it over them, not to present ourselves as the experts or the specialists, but to posture ourselves in love and in humility. One of the early Scottish covenanters was a man called John Knox, and he was quite severe. He didn't really like Mary, Queen of Scots, and he raged against her. But he had a prayer life that is unparalleled. And his most famous prayer, his most famous plea and cry to God, every morning of his life, he would fall on his knees and he could be heard across the streets of Edinburgh crying out to the Lord. And you know what his prayer was? "Give me Scotland or I die." Where are the women and men tonight, online or here, in the International Bible Institute of London and Regent's Theological College and Kensington Temple, London City Church, and all the churches that might be represented by the thousands that will watch this broadcast? Where are the women and men who will say, "Give me London or I will die. Give me Paris or I will die. Give me Madrid or I will die. Give me Toronto or Seville or New York or Washington or Los Angeles or I will die. Give me Accra. Give me Warsaw. Give me Krakow. Give me Budapest. Give me this nation or I will die." Posturing ourselves in a hunger not to have our names in lights. One day there will be other bright things sitting here. In 15 or 20 years, there will be another senior minister in this fellowship if the Lord has not returned first. There will be another principal, there will be other leaders, and there will be other students. And there will be other congregants. You get one shot at this life, so make it count. Give yourself to God's purposes and posture yourself in humility. Not to yell and shout at the world, but to plead with it. Our culture is searching for answers and they can't find them. They're looking at the bottom of bottles. They're looking at gender politics. They're looking at sexuality exploration. They're looking at all kinds of libertine ideas. They're looking at everything. They're looking at nationalism. They're looking at political pride. They're looking at violence. There aren't any answers in any of those places, but there is an answer in Jesus. He is still the hope of the world. He is still the light of the world. He is still the one that sets prisoners free. And he turns to his servants and he says, "Will you do the same as I have done?" So I ask you seriously, students, really seriously, who will you serve with what you have learned? Where will you serve out of what you have learned? What will you do with what you have learned? How will you apply what you have learned into your life that others might see Jesus Christ? I think it's really sad if the only thing that you get to celebrate on the night you graduate is moving your tassel from the right to the left. I mean, there must be a cheaper way of doing that with less effort, right? But if you take what you have learned tonight and you leave this building and you say, "I am going to apply it. I'm going to find a community. I'm going to serve a person. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to find a way of using what God has deposited in me so that I can bless others," then the world could be changed by you. You're not a bucket. You're a drain pipe. Buckets receive the water and it stays there. Drain pipes receive the water and it passes through them to somebody else. Where will you let the water of life flow? What community and what place will God place you in? And what about the rest of us? Many of us have more knowledge than we could ever understand we have. If you're a Christian here tonight and you have a Bible and you have read it, even if you haven't read it all, then you probably have more theological education than 90% of the pastors of the world. What are you doing with it? How are you allowing what God has deposited in you to flow to somebody else? What's your posture? Give me, give me, give me. Bless me, bless me, bless me. Or bless people through me. Pour through me and out into other people. That's my prayer. My prayer is that we will not gauge the success of Kensington Temple by how many people attend our services. So what? But that we will gauge the effectiveness of Kensington Temple, London City Church, by how many people we send into the world. By how many nations are impacted. By how many men and women are brought into a living relationship with the kingdom of God. And this is serious business. About 6 or 7 months ago, I began to preach a series here. And in the middle of it, I stopped and I said, let me just say something to you, sisters and brothers. I'm not coming off this wall. I am not going to be distracted by petty politics. I'm not going to be drawn into conversations that are completely irrelevant. There is a lost London that needs the good news of Jesus Christ. There are nations that need to be reached. There are disciples that need to be raised. There are churches that need to be planted. There are evil demonic empires that need to be shaken. There are powers that need to be broken. There are declarations that need to be made. And we should be about the King's business. Your preparation. And your posture. And lastly, your perspective. That third reading from Luke chapter 6, verse 40, where Jesus says to his disciples, a teacher is not greater than his pupils, and a pupil is not more important than the teacher. That is about perspective. You see, the problem with platforms is if you're not careful, they put you several feet above contradiction. There is level ground at the cross. Doesn't matter how many academic titles or names or badges or letters come after your name. We are all on level ground before Jesus Christ. There is no one in this room, and I include myself, no one in this room or online that God loves more than another person. His purpose for Malcolm Duncan is his purpose for Malcolm Duncan. My job is to find that purpose and live it out. Your job is to find your purpose and live it out. I'm only here to help and serve and support you. I've been blessed and privileged to have a responsibility of leadership in this house and in the wider Church of Jesus Christ in different places around the world. But make sure you understand this. It doesn't make me better than you. Graduating doesn't make you better than anybody else. That's why I don't actually like all of this. Because it's a secret code of working out who's clever. And who cares, really? You can get a lot of knowledge, but not have very much understanding. The book of Proverbs says a lot about that. You can have a great deal of head knowledge, but not have any wisdom. The Bible calls us to be women and men that are humble, that know who we are in God and are willing to give ourselves for the world. So, well done. Honestly, you're amazing. I've loved lecturing. I've loved coming. I particularly liked the night that I came having cooked for my cell group and you all ate my food. On more than one occasion, you have eaten my food. But we have laughed together, we have prayed together, we have wept together, we have celebrated together, and I am part of your life now, whether you like it or not, and you are part of mine. And I thank God for you, and I pray, and this is not me pretending, I pray that you will reach further than I have ever reached, that you will go higher than I have ever gone, that you will carry a double or a triple anointing to anything that I have carried, and that you will shine with the glory and the iridescence of God. But I also pray this, that over the years that lie ahead in this house, we will raise up thousands, and I mean it, thousands of new pastors. Thousands of church leaders, thousands of men and women who will go into industry, into commerce, and into business. I pray that we will raise more cell leaders than we could ever imagine, that people will be hungry for discipleship. IBIOL will not continue as it has been. It will grow and it will expand in the name of Jesus, and we will need more staff and more programs and more training because God is doing something in this house. And I believe, without it sounding arrogant or presumptuous, that God brought all of you here tonight, online, upstairs, online and in this room. Because in many ways, tonight is a transfer moment where we step into a new season. And I am serious about this. I want you to take that seriously, KT. I want you to weigh it. If you are a son or a daughter of this house, I want you to go home and write it in your notepad. Write it in your journal. I was there on the 13th of July, 2025, when we stepped into the next chapter of our story. I was there as the vision was being birthed. I heard it, and I pray that not just one or two, but that dozens of you will do something about what you've heard tonight. And that you will not only say, I enjoyed the message, but you will cherish this word. You will posture yourself in humility, and you will have a perspective that says, I will give my all for the kingdom of God. Now, as I close, I am aware that many of you have come as family, or some of you perhaps have come as family to witness this graduation. And some here may not yet be followers of Jesus. And you may scratch your head in bewilderment. Maybe you came just out of interest because you heard about KT. And you're trying to work out, what is that church all about? Well, I hope you've caught a flavor of it tonight. But as you leave, do you know the Jesus that has inspired these men and women? Have you experienced his love and his grace and his mercy? Do you know what it is to be set free from an old life and given the ability to look at life differently?